time for the next iteration. Behind the Beard, WNC is back around the table. It's good to be around the table with all you gentlemen. And this is a podcast where the four of us get together. We banter about a lot of things. A lot of times it gravitates towards high school football. In fact, that's pretty much all the time it goes that way. So, yeah, good time. So a big weekend of football. Exciting. How about that Eagles game? Eagles just trashing five-time effort of the Detroit Lions on fourth down last night.
I mean,
I would love to go to Harris with Dan Campbell.
Take the points, oh, man.
Yeah. I mean, kick, you know, the field Dan goal. Campbell.
If he'd have kicked the field goals, they would have won.
I mean, if he has 19 in blackjack, he may hit. he may just hit. But no, I mean, can we not? Well, no one's going to mention the 7-3 Bears.
How about the Bears? I figured you'd bring it up.
The 7-3 Bears. And then let's see what else. What else is going on?
The Dolphins getting the win at 9:30 in the morning.
That's true.
Yes.
49ers doubled up Arizona.
Rough year for Pat's Commanders.
It is a bad year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, so listen, explain something to me because I'm not a smart guy. Dolphins got the ball with 45 seconds left on the 1-2 yard line in the fourth quarter. They don't kick the field goal, they go for it. And go to overtime.
Crazy, because they said they didn't want to leave them with time on the clock. It's like, where's Marcus Mariota?
What was the score? Like 13 or 16-16?
16-16.
They'd only given up 16 the whole game.
I was like, you would have thought that they were playing Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen in a 42-42 game.
Marcus Mariota.
Yeah, Marcus Mariota. Questionable.
Now, your Dolphins obviously get that big win over the Bills, right?
Yes.
Now, did I hear a story correctly that I don't know if I heard this all the way through, or maybe I didn't hear it at all. I don't know. But the coach for the Dolphins was harassing some fans of Bills or something at some bar or something. What was the story?
Yeah. So there's Florida is New York of the South.
Right.
And so there's a spot where all the Bills fans hang out and watch the game. So after the game, he drove by there.
Did he really?
Yeah. Yeah, just so they would see his face, and he was,
Did he give him the business or something?
I don't think so.
I don't know if there was any like words exchanged. I know
he just drove by.
I think he definitely rolled down his window, and it was just like, I'm not sure if he was waving at him or just, you know, how'd you like that? Whatever it was, but there in these big cities, I mean, when you go to Chicago, there's a bar for most teams, and so that's not out of the norm that especially a melting pot like Florida. Has a lot of Bills fans down there, but interesting. What their record at that time, and I don't know if I'm driving around with my window down, but huge win versus.
Listen,
the Bills.
You beat the Bills. Yeah. Let's celebrate it.
Yeah, huge. I
mean, what about Saturday though? Some craziness.
Craziness.
Oklahoma beating Alabama.
Indeed, poor Derek.
Is Derek okay?
I haven't heard from him.
Yeah, no one's heard.
So
of
are
him.
You? So is Alabama? Are they? They are penciled in. The college football playoff.
They're
right?
still penciled in the SEC championship.
I was going to say they're penciled in because you can easily, I mean, they've still got that game at Auburn.
Yes, which, you know, can be crazy.
Those games can, yeah. They went from Sharpied in the college football playoff to then penciled in.
I had a parlay where I bet Carolina and State both to cover. Didn't work out.
No.
Our teams are awful.
Not good. But we're on, I mean, it's basketball time.
We should play our football game at like, 10:30 on a Sunday morning.
Did you see what time the game's at?
7:30. Prime time.
Prime
ACC
time.
Network.
ACC Network.
Why?
I thought it was going to be like a 9:30 London game in the morning.
It should be. What a terrible game it's
going to be. So, but no, it's football. I cannot get enough. It's just one of those where you watch it, and then guess what? We have tonight, Monday Night Football.
Indeed,
and it's
going to
be on. It's going to be on the TV.
You talk about there not being enough, but I tell you what I don't like. It's Friday night college football.
Yes.
Friday night's for the high school.
Yeah, let high school have it.
I mean, State's got a game this Friday, but it's Friday nights for high school.
That's right.
I agree with that.
Is that just to get those teams in like a slot for to fill up a TV spot?
That's exactly what it is.
It's money.
Yep.
It's just money.
It's the same reason that I can't remember the conference name. They play on Tuesdays and Wednesdays.
Oh, the MAC? Oh, the MACtion?
Yeah.
I mean, that's special, though. I mean,
nobody else is playing on Tuesdays.
No one else. Yeah, they're competing with Dancing with the Stars.
Right.
Wow.
I think they get beat by them, by the way.
Probably, but I mean, if you get bored on Tuesday night,
not in the male demographic.
I tell you what, you want to watch some gritty football, I mean, the Mac always, they, I've seen plays where they've got double fumbles. It's like, you got a, it's like, you got a fumble recovery. Oh, he's going to score a touchdown. Nope, he just fumbled it, and the offense is returning it back. So,
Western Kentucky's in the Mac, right?
They're, I do not believe so. I don't know.
Maybe they're in the Sun
Belt. It's like Toledo, Miami, Ohio, yeah. Northern Illinois.
Because they played some of those middle of the week games. But
yeah.
We used to be Western Kentucky fans.
Yeah, they stay away from, there's not many on Thursday night, right?
No, not a lot. Because yeah. You got NFL Thursday nights.
I mean, talk about Friday night games. I mean, Dabo, did they win the national championship?
You
did you see
so.
That? I mean, yeah. Some of his, which then again,
it was just who didn't want to lose the most.
If we're going to talk about celebrations, I think we have to bring up the South Carolina coach at halftime.
Oh my gosh. That's
did anybody see
about.
That?
I did not.
No. So first, let's talk about, what happened in the first half?
Was it 33 to?
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't it 31?
31 to 3? I mean, 31 to
maybe 6.
6 maybe? Yeah. 31 to 6.
South Carolina coach walks to the locker. They're on the road. Walks to the locker room with his hands in the air like they just won.
I mean, pumping up the crowd. I mean, he's just throwing his hand. I mean, it's just – and then the second half happened.
Yeah, Texas A&M won.
So
– nice. Wow.
SEC teams in SEC play were 0-286 when trailing by 27 points at one point in the game.
That
is now 1-286 because Texas A&M came back and won.
And how about the incident in the tunnel with the police officer? That was interesting.
Thinking, I think it was incidental. Come on.
No bull, way. Bull, absolutely. That
he
was
stuck his elbow
was
out to hit the
guy
on the left.
People just walk by people like that.
No, I mean, I no. support I back the blue more than anybody, and that was just he
was mad they just scored and they were losing.
And they were losing. I mean, it was just a bad decision.
His emotions
has
got
no,
the best of
you know, his emotions got the best of him for sure.
Speaking of emotions, let's talk about the pick'ems last week.
Ooh.
Yeah, very emotional.
Carson, you want to make a comment?
I was hoping that we were going to skip through that.
Yeah. So listen to this. How about Carson at 2-9? Is it because we had 11 games? Is that what threw you off?
It absolutely threw me off, and I blame nothing but the kids and the coaches.
Wow.
So Pat and Mike brought in a 4-7 record, while Lewis is the only one with a winning record at 6-5. On the year, Lewis retakes the lead 72-63. Carson, 3 back, 69-56. Mike, 67-58. And Pat, 60-65.
Indeed.
Are you even trying, Pat?
Well, you know, I'm trying to get a second job so that I can afford to take you idiots to dinner. Right now on the menu is peanut butter crackers. So
I don't think so.
I beg to differ.
I
think we're going somewhere better than that.
We're going to the Scotsman. We know already.
As long as they
going.
Serve peanut butter crackers, maybe ramen noodles.
I've looked up the menu and I'm like, with these prices, it's so affordable. I make it.
It's
two
not
things.
That. It's really not bad. Not
I
that
looked
bad.
Up the menu.
We love that place. Yeah. What is the food.
What are the rolls called? Reuben rolls.
Reuben egg rolls.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I like the bangers and mash.
Yeah.
That's very good. And shepherd's pie is good too.
Pat does like to bang it. The Reuben rolls, that's all I'll eat that as the meal. It's an appetizer. I'll eat it as the meal.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
It's just going to be so nice. It's like when they come by, and, you know, when they come by, it's like, hey, how do y'all want your checks? Right here. One.
One.
Yeah, I'm going to be Shane Beamer holding it up. Just one.
One.
Yeah, one.
Wow. Wow.
How much? We should all ride together because, I mean, I'm assuming we're going to drink a couple.
Well, I mean, yeah. When you're at the tavern.
I mean, yeah.
At the Scotsman, you got to do what Scotsmen do.
That's right.
What's that?
Drink beer and drink scotch.
And Pat's in charge of driving.
Mm.
Maybe we can get Chris. He's our designated driver. Remember that from the...
Who's Chris?
You know.
I haven't heard from him in a minute.
Yeah. He's always busy.
He is busy. He working works too
man.
Much.
Yeah, working man.
So let's go over the actual games. You guys got anything you want to talk about before we do that?
No. Lay it on.
All right, here we go. We'll start with Forest Hills at Franklin. Franklin was a 10.5-point favorite. Franklin gets the win, but they do not cover. 14-13, the victory, 1-point win. For Franklin quarterback, Anderson Terrell was 11 of 13 for 134 and a touchdown. Young and Sutton rushed for 204 yards combined and a touchdown. At halftime, this score was 7-0 Franklin. So Forest Hill scores 13 in the fourth to make it close, but Franklin holds on 14-13. They move on to the next round. Anybody got anything you want to talk about with the Franklin game?
Hey, they're gritty, right? That's what we've been saying about the Franklin fans.
And this game was not at Western. Where was this one at?
That's Cherokee. The other thing.
This was at Cherokee. Okay.
Because Western played the next day, they played at Cherokee, which Cherokee has some beautiful facilities.
Great facilities.
Especially if you're a coach there. That office that overlooks the field. I think it has a sauna and a hot tub or something in it. Like, it's wild.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
That sounds like Carson's office.
I know.
No, but Franklin gets the job done. I mean.
Franklin's got a tough one this week.
We'll talk about it.
All right, so next up, Hendersonville at Lincolnton. Lincolnton, a 2.5-point home favorite. Well, they get the win, but they do not cover. They win 28-27, but Hendersonville covers. Pat Lewis might got this one correct. For Lincolnton, they had 161 yards passing and 2 touchdowns and 175 yards rushing and 2 touchdowns, so very balanced. Hendersonville, great year.
Yeah, really. I mean, great year. Good for those
Fantastic
guys.
Fantastic year. It's what I get for, I mean, when you pick a team with a 2.5-point spread to cover, if they don't cover, would have wanted them to lose. So.
Right.
But it's one of those. Great year from Hendersonville. Would that game... That game would have matched up with Mountain Heritage, right? It did match up with Mountain Heritage?
Yes, that would have been a rematch.
Would have been a rematch. Would have been awesome for high school football around here.
So next up, another Lincolnton school, West Lincoln at Mount Heritage. Mount Heritage, a 34.5-point favorite. They do win by a big margin, but are not able to get the points. 46-13, Mount Heritage. None of us got this one correct. Mount Heritage rushed for 339 yards and 5 touchdowns. Carson, that's an 8.3 yards per carry average.
But that's not going to be the largest average that we're going to talk about today.
It's not. Irvine Rodriguez, 16 carries, 134 yards and 3 touchdowns. Kaysen Jones, 9 carries for 127 yards and a touchdown. Mount Heritage does what Mount Heritage does.
Yes, they do.
They just pounded it out.
Do you think there's a game? I mean, Lewis has always said it's like when they want something, they just give it to him. It's like, do you think there's a game where he has more than 20 touches?
No, absolutely not.
Because I think he scores before he doesn't need 20 touches.
That's correct.
Okay. Yeah. That's insane.
And I would really say whoever he's going to school for next year, there might be an arrangement out there, you know?
Elon.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, Division I football player.
Yeah. So they were like, hey, he's got 12 touches. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know.
It's happened before. We've seen it before.
Have we? With who?
We've known players to be on a play count from the doctor, other people.
Coming back, from a serious injury, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, that was true of Mr. Guest when he was coming back that one year, and he could only play a certain number of plays in those early games or whatever. Yeah. But that was all medical.
Mm-hmm. I guess it could be. I mean, we're not in. Yeah, we don't know exactly what the college is telling him, but I would imagine they would. With him, he's never had a real injury pass. So I don't know. 10 touches would be alarmingly low, but I don't know.
Yeah. So they move on. Next up, West Iredell at Pisgah. Pisgah, a 6.5-point home favorite. They get the win and cover. Carson, Pat, and Lewis get this one correct. For Pisgah, they rush for 293 yards and 5 touchdowns. Landon Pope, he only had 23 carries for 146 yards and 4 touchdowns.
Is that all?
That's it.
I mean, really?
Usually he's a 40 carry a game guy. Running back Mason Putnam, 6 carries, 97 yards and a touchdown. For West Iredell, their quarterback Patterson was 21 of 28 for 231, touchdown interception, and they rushed for 176 yards and 3 touchdowns. At halftime, this one was 20-12, so it was a close game at half. Pisgah pulls away second half.
Yeah. Pisgah's that team. I mean, if the game script goes their way, it's and they're able to move the ball on the ground, it's probably going to be very difficult to catch up to them because they'll just lean on you. And as Pat mentioned, their physicality is probably third and fourth quarters, probably where they can easily separate.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
We saw it. Lewis and I saw it Mount Heritage and Hendersonville.
Yeah.
The physicality second half.
They were
too much
out of the locker room.
How
many?
We've talked about it all year with the games at the first half where it's like somewhat of a competitive game, but then you look at the score at the end of the game and it's like that doesn't say the whole story because first half it's kind of close.
That's right.
So next up, Tuscola at Mount Pleasant. Mount Pleasant, a 17.5-point home favorite. They get the win. They do not cover. None of us got this correct. 44-34, the final. Quarter running back Sam Trantham, 16 carries, 189 yards, and two touchdowns. As a team, Tuscola rushed it for 253 yards and four touchdowns. Ty Walker had 17 tackles. 34 points, a lot for Tuscola. Not able to get the win, though.
That's unfortunate. I mean, but that's the team that's kind of went back and forth week in, week out, right?
Yeah, we talked about that quite a bit throughout the year.
Win, loss, win, loss, win, loss.
Yeah, it's up and down, up and down. Yep.
So next up, West Stokes at Brevard. Brevard, a 39.5-point home favorite. They win. They do not cover. 41-19, Brevard. Pat, the only one to get this one correct. They could have covered. It was 41-0 at half. And Brevard took their foot off the gas. Brevard, they just keep rolling, guys. Still undefeated.
Yeah, they're going to be. They're
seems like that bye week they had didn't affect too much.
No.
I mean, they came out and then still seems like they got some guys some rest that second half.
I bet, though, like if you ever do get the bye, like those linemen, they're like, thank you so much.
Yes.
You know, a little bit of recovery.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because when you're running the ball a lot,
yeah,
it's tough on offensive linemen.
Yep.
They love it, but it's tough on them. So next up, West Henderson at East Lincoln. East Lincoln, a 33.5-point home favorite. They win and cover as they win 56-15 over the Falcons. Mike and Lewis got this one correct. For West Henderson, quarterback Cade Young had a decent game. He was 20 of 30 for 313 yards, a touchdown, and an interception. Running back Zane McGraw, 26 carries for 99 yards and a touchdown, and wide receiver Asa Osterman, 7 catches for 129 yards and a touchdown. For East Lincoln, guys, they had 213 yards passing and 258 yards rushing.
Balanced.
But listen to this stat, Pat.
Yes.
East Lincoln had a 16.1 yards per carry average on the ground.
Wow.
They're rushing for a first down and a half.
Every play.
Every play.
Every play.
I would imagine, how many do you think they broke for more than 50?
I'd say it's probably like two or three.
They had to have broken more than one.
Yeah.
Because that number's
it's
very,
huge.
Very high.
Now, did the entire county of Lincoln?
It does appear that way.
Are they going to play each other in the state title?
Perhaps, yes. There are a lot of those Lincoln County schools.
Lincoln County schools that aren't in the third round of the playoffs?
Yeah, didn't one of them lose? Didn't we already talk about
that?
Oh,
we may have already talked about that. You keep bringing that.
Let me go back. Let's see. West Lincoln lost to Mount Heritage.
Oh, yeah. All right. There we go.
So now Mount Heritage gets to play Lincolnton.
Okay.
And great game. I mean, like you'd mentioned, great game from Cade. It just obviously when you can't stop the run and they're having those explosive plays.
16.1 yards per carry.
Ridiculous.
So next up, Irwin at South Point. South Point, a 38.5-point home favorite. They win. They do not cover. 48-13 South Point. None of us got this one correct. For South Point, 8 running backs rushed it for 285 yards and 6 touchdowns. Irwin's season ends, so it's a tough year.
And indeed, they had a lot of hopes coming into this season and just did not. The fortune was not favorable to Irwin this year.
I tell you what, though, I not spoke with Coach Pruitt, but I mean, I would imagine that kind of like a lot of his interviews, I mean, he'd still say the kids battled and the adversity and stuff, still getting a playoff win. I know we've mentioned, you know, how the playoffs look this year differently than years in the past, but still, I mean, just losing your, you know, I saw a poll that said it was like top players from West North Carolina, and Lawson Reynolds was on there, and his stats last year were better than anybody's stats that currently have stats this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow. So that's a huge piece that they had lost.
I mean, that's a top tier quarterback with a top tier wide receiver.
With the probably the number one weapon in West North Carolina.
Well, you might say Caden Ray would be up there with him.
Yes. Yeah, for sure.
So next up, Asheville traveled to Northern Guilford. Northern Guilford, a 17.5-point home favorite.
We should say something before you get too far into this, Mike. We get to wish Coach Radford.
We do need to wish Court Radford a happy birthday. Happy birthday, Coach.
Yeah, happy birthday. Friend of the show, part of my boys group, the leader of my boys.
The leader of my boys.
No.
That's weird.
That means they're doomed to lose.
I'm sorry.
Well, so Asheville travels to North Guilford. They're a 17.5-point home favorite. North Guilford wins and covers 46-13. Guys, that doesn't tell the whole story. At halftime, this game was 21-13 Northern Guilford.
Wow.
Yeah, Asheville had the ball on the 50, down 24-13, halfway through the third quarter. Turned it over, and from there the wheels came off. Northern Guilford senior-led team, while, you know, Asheville young guys.
Yeah.
So. Young and a bit beat up, probably still too.
Yes, yeah, still injured.
But it's that. This is another perfect example. If you look at that score, it's like this was over from the beginning,
right?
And it wasn't. That wasn't the case.
But I mean, they should be so hopeful for the next few years. All that experience these young guys got, and now their body's going to start growing and matching that.
Yeah,
watch
and,
out.
And I think, you know, Coach Radford is very committed to that weight room over there.
Oh yeah,
and he's going to have those guys in it working out.
Yeah, and the experience on the field, like Lewis has said, I mean. They even had some, even that Inca game. It's like there's things that those kids have went through that you don't get that on the JV.
That's right.
You don't get that on Thursday nights.
I look for, I see them being fantastic for the next couple of years.
Yeah, well, without a doubt. Yeah.
So next up, Kings Mountain at TC. TC, a 2.5-point home underdog. They cover, they don't win. Kings Mountain wins 21-20. For TC, quarterback Karad Harris was 9 of 25 through the air with 97 yards, a touchdown interception. But Patty also rushed for 18 times for 121 yards and 2 touchdowns. This kid's super explosive. Running back Mooka Simpson, 25 carries for 89 yards. And wide receiver Dinwiddie, 8 catches for 92 yards and a touchdown. Interesting stat, they had 3 players that caught passes, Pat. Dinwiddie, the only one with positive yards.
Yeah, well, you brought up a couple of good points while we were watching this game, I thought. Any time that they did that.
Yeah, when they were at the game.
When they threw the ball over the middle to Dinwiddie, and he caught it, obviously it was for positive yards, he did well. The other thing that was interesting was the running game, when the quarterback, or what was his name?
Mooka Simpson.
Mooka Simpson.
Mooka's 5'10", 125 maybe.
And they're very fast and very athletic, but yeah. When they ran between the tackles, it went usually pretty positive. I mean, not every time, but most of the time it's positive. And you brought up the point in the game that when they were going out to the perimeter, trying to get that edge with the pass or the run, it was not happening.
Yeah. And the other thing in this game, TC misses 2 extra points.
Oh yeah.
And lose by 1.
Ooh.
Bad snap, shank.
Blocked.
Blocked, okay.
Blocked up the middle. It just did not seem the timing was there for whatever reason.
How was the physicality levels? I mean, was it pretty... pretty even?
Yes, I felt like it was very even.
Very even.
It was a very evenly matched pair of football teams.
Yeah.
I will give you these for Kings Mountain quarterback KJ Bell, 11-26 for 201 yards, a touchdown interception. They only had 51 yards rushing as a team. So TC able to slow them down.
Oh, yeah.
Unfortunately, you know, the extra points are the difference here.
Yeah.
You could also argue the safety was the difference too when that snap went over the punter's head.
Snap over the punter's head into the end zone for a safety.
Yeah, that was a killer. I mean, special teams was a bit of a
thorn
on TC.
That's 4 points right there.
Yeah.
They only lost by 1.
Yeah, wouldn't you exactly. So that was definitely the special teams, I think, was a big factor for the TC loss there. But then you take a look at that second half and TC was rolling. It looked like there at the end on that drive, they were going to get in there. They were going to take the lead. And to your point already, their defense was already stopping Kings Mountain.
Yes.
And they couldn't really get much past the 50 consistently. Like you and I talked about it. Both teams were able to execute intermittently at best. Like they could get a decent pass to Dinwiddie or the Kings Mountain receiver or the running back would get a big pass or a big play. But then they couldn't put them together consistently over time. Everything stalled.
Was there a lot of punts? I mean, did they go for it? Was there any like big turnovers that?
Well, the big turnover was this thing in the second half. When how much time was left on the clock when that drive was happening?
About four minutes. I think about 4 minutes left.
Yeah. And they were in position to go, and they were, I think, down on the Kings Mountain 40-yard line, and then the fumble happened, and then you're just like, oh no,
because sucked the wind out of the stadium.
It did, and you know that unfortunately. Then they actually had another opportunity late, but they couldn't get it done.
Dinwiddie, a fantastic possession type receiver.
Oh,
I mean, just over the middle. I mean, he was wide open. He catches the ball. He doesn't fumble. You know, he was
positive yards. It seems like the
really
whole
good. You know, if you think of like a Julian Edelman, or obviously on a
so
high
he was in
level.
The inside slot, just working the middle.
Working the middle of the field.
He had a great catch, basically off his shoot tops. I mean, he went down and got it and caught it and was able to actually turn and get upfield for a few more yards. Pretty impressive. So
TC also very young.
I was going to say with that quarterback too.
Seniors.
I mean,
quarterback's a sophomore.
Quarterback too. That's a enormous piece to have coming back, because we've heard multiple coaches rave about, you know, his ability to play.
Both of them.
The problem becomes with the schools in the area. How do you keep them?
That's the question.
How do you keep them, right?
Yeah.
I'm certainly not taking a shot at Asheville, but they've had two fantastic quarterbacks leave before their senior year.
Yeah.
Their last two, right?
Yeah.
The last two. Can they hang on to theirs now? Can TC hang on to theirs? Can they flip the tables on recruiting and get more guys in instead of losing? Can you get a net gain instead of a net loss?
Yeah. Can you get that guy that people want to come and play with versus,
right,
hey, I'm going to, you know, take my talents elsewhere? Because we've talked about it on here many times where you don't want someone that's bad enough to where no one wants them. I mean, it's like you want the guy that is very good that people are like, oh, I'd love to have him. Kind of like what Rodney was able to do with Caden.
Yeah, so
Caden definitely had opportunities.
If I'm a wide receiver, I think I would want to be at Irwin because they have the best passing quarterback in the area by far.
Yeah.
Yep.
Next year.
And he's got another year. He's only a junior.
Yeah.
Now, your points, too, about the offseason, like you were saying a minute ago, Court's going to have those guys in the weight room. I think that's going to have to be key over TC, too, because though that running back and that quarterback, as crazy fast as they are and as athletic as they are, they do need to get in the weight room. They've got to get a little more size on them and complement that athleticism with that. I think if they can do that and they can stay, they're going to be something.
You know, as a parent, you know, we all do, except Carson, when you're 16, you're a lot smaller than when you're 18.
Oh, it's, right,
you
right.
put on a lot more mass, a lot more muscle. I mean,
I think that's why we're so high on the teams that's played with such young kids, because, you know, they're going to the playoffs playing against 18-year-olds. That's a humongous difference.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, even 14 to 16, it's like that. There's just every year is so much. If you look at a picture of, I mean, just me when I'm a sophomore in high school versus a senior, it doesn't look like.
You couldn't have been much smaller than you are now.
and hey, listen, it's not just body size.
It's attitude. Like,
it's also experience.
Yeah, maturity.
Oh, hey, yeah, I've played in a second-round playoff game before.
Right.
You know what? It's not a big deal. I've been here before.
Yeah, absolutely.
So one other game to talk about, A.C. Reynolds at Charlotte Catholic. Charlotte Catholic, a 17.5-point home favorite. They win 27-0. Charlotte Catholic, 258 yards rushing as a team and 4 touchdowns. For Reynolds, quarterback Colton Reimer was 5 of 11 for 8 yards and an interception. Ty Patterson-Davis, 16 carries for 22 yards. They only had 29 yards total on offense. Caden Ray had 3 interceptions, bright spot for Reynolds. But Charlotte Catholic, it sounds like Charlotte Catholic does what Charlotte Catholic does. They line up with 2 tight ends, a running back. They're not flashy. They just beat you and beat you and beat you and beat you. The next thing it's 21-0.
As a senior, I mean, when that's your last game, that's a tough last game.
Yeah.
I seen a meme about that the other day about how everybody that doesn't win a state championship, those seniors go out on a loss. And, man, that's tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
But that's not 100% true.
Go ahead.
Luke went out with a win. He did not win a state championship.
That's right, because they played
Asheville School after the season.
That's
was
true.
Over.
That's what I'm saying.
That's right.
But you know,
no, yeah. you're 100% right. That's a very rare occurrence.
Right.
Well, and that's what I think it was. The Missouri coach Trinkwich was like, if you only
former state OC. Go ahead.
Yep. If you only blame it. If you're only measuring your season off of did you win that championship? It's like there's majority of teams would have a failing season then, and that's not necessarily the case, but that's always tough. I mean, all of my last games were losses.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
It's like, that's crazy to think about.
And that is literally, you bring that up, that is literally something that Luke and I talked about last year. Hey, you got to end with a win. Not normally going to happen when you're competing against Raymond Gap and Providence.
Correct.
That's true.
Yeah, that's a big deal. So that was last week's games. Exciting stuff. So now we have a news segment coming up. The whistle may have blown on some of these teams, but it's time for PWP. Poetry with Pat.
The final whistle. The stadium lights blaze like dying suns, casting long shadows on the turf we've bled for. 4 autumns of bruises, triumphs, and tears. I'm 18, helmet heavy with memories, shoulder pads etched with the ghosts of hits that built me, broke me, made me whole. The crowd roars, a tidal wave of voices, parents, friends, the girl who smiled from the stands, but inside, it's quieter. The thud of my heart, the snap of the ball, the clash of warriors under Friday night skies that once felt eternal. This is the last drive, the final play. No more huddles whispering dreams of state rings. No more locker rooms echoes of one more rep. The clock ticks down, merciless as graduation, and I charge forward, lungs burning, legs screaming, tackling future in a blur of green and white. Touchdown or fumble, doesn't matter now. The whistle blows, sharp as a blade, and the field empties, leaving me alone with the echo of cleats on grass, the weight of goodbye settling like dew. I pull off my helmet, stare at the goalpost, standing sentinel against the night. High school ends here, on this sacred ground, but the game, the fire, the brotherhood lives in my veins forever. One last roar for the boys of fall. Good job, seniors.
Indeed.
Pat, will you read a poem at my funeral?
Sure.
Will you go ahead and pick it out?
I've got a request. I would like Pat to do, if there's ever a Netflix show, if there's ever something about my life, I want Pat to be the voice. I want Pat. I used to be Morgan Freeman. It is now it's Patrick Pohl.
Pat is
beautiful, God. Pat. That's beautiful.
Pat had Carson and I over here crying. We were wiping tears.
I'm literally, it's like my funeral. Now I'm like, okay, that's a little dark. I want it to be the, you know, when y'all create a documentary of my life.
What are you going to do so special that we're going to create a documentary?
Absolutely
of your life?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
That'll be a short story.
It would be a very short story.
Indeed.
Mm. All right.
No, but that's for the seniors. You know, you guys, we've talked about it before in the past. I'll say this. Obviously, the seniors that are in the MAC and the other teams that are no longer playing, obviously, this is a memory and a time in your life that I can tell you firsthand, being 55 years old, I still remember this in my experiences. A defining part of my life. And I can tell you one scar that may cut you a little deeper is when you get to see your own kid go through it. So that'll be also a big time for you as well down the road.
So a little known fact, Pat, the only one of us to play college football.
That's
yep.
true.
Yep. Yep.
Carson played college baseball. Lewis and I, we watched college baseball.
Yeah, right.
And college football.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but it's one of those.
Very few folks get to play at that next level.
Yeah, but it's just, and I think Pat can probably attest to this, there's nothing like your high school memories.
No, nothing.
It's just, it's because it's such a job, Mike, where it's, I mean, the coach is there. It's like their salary. They're not a PE teacher. No. It's like they're there to win. And it is so much more of a job. The kids there, and even now more than ever, you know, it's so transactional to where it's like, if you're not playing, I'm leaving, blah, blah, blah. Well, when you're in high school and you're growing up, I mean, these are the moments you're going to remember with your friends forever.
So we should mention probably the MAC eliminated from the playoffs. 0-3, 0-4 this week.
We were on a high last week.
Last week it was the MAC is back.
The MAC is back.
This week it's the MAC is done.
Yeah.
The MAC is done.
The Mountain 8 and the Western Highlands still out there, but yes. The MAC done.
Indeed.
What is, do you know Robbinsville, those guys? What conference are they in? Do you know? If you don't, it's okay.
I do not know.
Yeah. We don't cover them a lot, but they're still kicking. We're going to get to some of these games.
Yeah. Murphy's still in, aren't they?
Murphy's still in it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy, the team's still in the playoffs, some of these guys. We're going to talk about a 3-8 team. It's a 50-point underdog in a minute.
Wow.
And it's the third round? It's the third round. For that division?
All right, guys. You ready to talk about round three?
Absolutely.
Yes, round three. That's crazy.
This one is going to be, this one right here, week one, this is going to be a good, I mean, game one, this is going to be a tough one right here.
All right.
This is two different styles of football. This is Franklin at Hickory. Pat, very familiar with Hickory.
Indeed.
Hickory, a 21.5-point home favorite. For Hickory, Their only loss was week one to South Point. Week one is the last time Hickory lost. They score 44 while giving up 15. Last week, they beat Montgomery Central 45-6. They rush it for 174 yards a game while passing it for 165, so they're very balanced. Running back Jaheim Jenkins, 122 yards a game, and he has scored 27 touchdowns on the year. Senior quarterback Maddox McAfee, 158 yards a game, 15 touchdowns to only 4 interceptions. For Franklin, we all know they're run first, and they're led by their sophomore running back, Garrett Young, 152 yards a game and 23 touchdowns. They score 32 while giving up 17. Lewis, Hickory is a 21.5-point home favorite. What's going to happen?
You know, Franklin's been that team all year. Typically, they'll cover. They've been gritty.
Well, typically they win. They're 9-2.
I know, but like typically they cover. That's more important.
Against the spread, they're 7-2. Yeah. I'm sorry, 7-4.
Yeah, I mean typically they cover. If you tell me I get to make a bet and I win 7 out of 11 times, definitely.
Okay.
So I'm going to go with Franklin.
Franklin, Carson.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Hickory here. I just think they're going to have too much firepower.
Get used to him picking opposite of me,
Patrick.
Well, yeah, this isn't the Hickory team, obviously, that I witnessed a couple of years ago, but obviously Hickory's been putting out good athletes, and they've been a solid program here as of late. I do agree with Lewis. I'm leaning toward Hickory winning this, obviously, with their talent, and they're playing at home and their experience, but I think Franklin's gritty enough. I think this is going to be a closer game than people think, so I'm going to take Franklin with the points.
So I thought back to when, you know, we saw the highlight of the Franklin Brevard game, and Derek was like, man, those cornerbacks, very flat-footed, unable to make, they're going to see better athletes with Hickory than they saw at Brevard.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Hickory wins, they cover. This may be a blowout early. I'm going Hickory.
I was trying to look up. I mean, they've still got some very, very high-profile athletes, don't they?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Oh, yeah. I remember quarterback. Is Stober still the quarterback?
No. I mentioned earlier that Maddox McAfee is the quarterback.
Maddox McAfee. Do we know if the little is still there?
No, he is not.
So they lost both there. Yeah. I've done my homework, obviously.
Yeah. I'm glad you studied for this week, okay. Carson.
But I'm still going with Hickory big.
Yeah, you've already picked that.
That's okay. He can pick twice. It's fine.
Sorry, Lewis.
Did you get them all written down so you don't mess it up?
Yep.
Is that your bonus pick?
Super play of the week. No, I'm saving that. Okay, I got
okay.
it.
So, guys, tell me it wasn't funny when the sheet comes out last week.
Yeah.
What was the team we all picked? Who was it? And Carson had us all opposite.
Oh, it was Kings Mountain, right?
Kings Mountain. I had us all.
We all picked TC, and you had us all on Kings Mountain.
This is why I have the losing record, that Carson has sabotaged me.
Yep. Yeah, he's sabotaging Pat. He messes up my score, too, all the time.
Definitely.
I would probably be winning if not for Carson.
Yeah, Mike may be in first. I can tell you, Pat is definitely
in first.
Definitely not.
All right. So this right here should be a fantastic game. This is Burns, 7-4, out of Cleveland County, Lawndale, North Carolina, at Brevard, 11-0. Brevard, a 14.5-point home favorite. Brevard scores 41 while giving up 16. They have played playoff teams 9 of 11 games this year. They played Reynolds, Irwin, Franklin, North Henderson, Smoky Mountain, West Henderson, Tuscola, Pisgah. So they're used to playoff caliber schools. For Burns, they're 7-4. Like I said, they lost to Crest 35-14, Kings Mountain 40-34, Lincolnton 49-35, and Shelby 36-35.
So they lost the playoff teams?
They're 4 out of 4 in Cleveland County. They lost to all three. So yeah. They score 40 while giving up 21, so very similar to Brevard. They beat West Stanley last week, 49-7. They pass it for 119 yards a game, 14 touchdowns, but Pat, 8 interceptions. They rush it for 242, and they're led by their running back, Max Davis, who has 122 yards a game, 20 touchdowns. He did not play last week. They were led by running back, Chris Dawkins, 8 carries for 173 yards and 2 touchdowns. Don't know the inside scoop there. Are they missing their running back? I'm not sure. Carson, Brevard, a 14.5-point home favorite. What are you thinking here?
They did not cover for me last week, but I've got Brevard here. I think Brevard gets a big lead. They're going to pull their foot off the gas, but I still think they win by more than 2 touchdowns.
Patrick?
So, you just said it.
But tell me, I'll repeat it. What do you got?
The Kings Mountain game. What was the score of that one?
It was 40-34 Kings Mountain.
So pretty close. And we watched Kings Mountain play TC. Obviously, yes. TC good. They were pretty comparable teams, I think, right?
Yes.
Now, if you were to put Kings Mountain on the field with Brevard, who do you think wins that game?
Man, I think Brevard smokes them.
I do, too. Yes. I do, too. I absolutely do too, think
because
they
do. Because Robertson beat Reynolds.
Yes.
Brevard beat Reynolds. For me, this is an easy pick.
I think so. I've got to take Brevard here. Even though the Brevard's kind of – they've won, but they've struggled to cover. I think they cover here.
Yeah, I think Brevard wins big here. Brevard's on their way to a state championship. Lewis?
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree with what you guys said.
So we're all Brevard. So, sorry, Brevard. It looks like you're losing this week.
I hope you still win.
There were four games this week that none of us got correct. That has never happened.
Ever.
Right?
Ever. Nope.
So next up, sorry, I got to clear my throat. Mount Pleasant, 8-3 at Pisgah, a 2.5-point home favorite. Mount Pleasant beat Tuscola, Pisgah's rival, last week, 44-34. They've won 6 of their last 7, and they put no stats up. Pisgah, they beat Tuscola 35-14. Pat, what do you think here?
I like Pisgah. I think your point that you brought up earlier, Carson, is if Pisgah can play their way of football and lean on you in the end, they're just going to just pound you into the dirt. So I like Pisgah. Give me Pisgah here.
My struggle is Pisgah generally struggles in the playoffs. They were the number one seed in the playoffs for 2 straight years and lost 2 straight years in a row. Now, they're having a pretty good run this year. You're right. They're very physical. And at the end of the game, that's when they're going to kind of do their thing. Same with Mount Heritage, same with Brevard. I'm on the fence, but I'm also going Pisgah. Lewis?
Well, I'm going to let Carson get a little bit closer because I know he's going to go wherever you go. I'm going to go
Mount Heritage. Mount they're not Heritage. Even playing in this game.
Yeah. I would go with Mount Heritage, too.
I'm going Mount Pleasant with this. I think down there.
It's at Pisgah.
I don't care, but I think the football play down there is a little bit better than what Pisgah's seen this year, other than, you know, Brevard then. But
where is Mount Pleasant?
No, it's near Charlotte.
It is.
Everybody's closer to Charlotte than we are.
I know.
Go ahead, Carson.
I am going with Pisgah, but it's not because of Lewis picking Mount Pleasant.
That's exactly what
I'm going with Pisgah because I think that this team, I think there's something with that game against Brevard, that stands out because I think that highly of Brevard. Brevard's been ranked number one the entire season. They have absolutely manhandled a lot of opponents this year. Pisgah's got a style of play that if it is working, and so far I don't know if there's been any games that it's not working, but if Pope can tote the rock, I don't know how they can't be in this game.
The fact that they split carries with Mason Putnam last week, I mean, they're opening some holes. They're running the game.
Yes.
And if you can keep Pope from getting 40 carries and still win the game and still rush for, you know, 300-400 yards.
Pisgah's kind of like, you know how we were talking about Charlotte Catholic, how they just do their thing? It's like Pisgah's not giving you turnovers. They're not, you know, you're gonna have to beat them on the field. Yeah. And I just don't know. I don't know if Mount Pleasant's gonna be able to do it, so I'm picking Pisgah here.
All right, next up we have Lincolnton. 9-2 at Mount Heritage, 10-1. Mount Heritage is 7.5-point home favorite. Oh, man. So Mount Heritage beat Hendersonville. Oh. 36-20. Lincolnton, they beat Hendersonville 28-7. Here's the thing, though. Lincolnton, 4-1 on the road. They're scoring 40 while giving up 18. They have a dual threat quarterback, man. He's dangerous. But I think Mount Heritage wins. They're a team. They're also, like Brevard, a team of destiny. They're going to win this game. They're probably going to win the state championship. I'm going Mount Heritage. Lewis.
I also agree with you. Mount Heritage is the safe pick here. I mean, they've been doing this for a long time. Lincolnton, I mean, they are a strong team. And their quarterback's going to have some big plays. But Mount Heritage is going to come out on top.
Carsonian.
Yeah, I'm going with Mount Heritage. I don't care how dangerous that quarterback is. He's not more dangerous than Case and Jones.
No. All right. What you got, Pat?
So you remember the movie The Replacements?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, with Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, great flick. Love the scene where the...
Never seen it.
You've never seen The Replacements,
nope.
Carson?
Nope.
He's only 16 years old.
That's crazy. Yeah, my 30th birthday is this week, so wow. I'm not 16.
One of the greatest scenes of all movies was where they had the cheerleaders from the dancing establishment across the street become cheerleaders. Mm-hmm. And then they did their provocative dance on the sideline, and the whole offense went offside staring at that. I thought that was one of the funniest things ever. Anyway, that's a total tangent. But I bring that up because if you remember in the movie The Replacements, Gene Hackman and Keanu Reeves are having their big speech moment, and he makes a point, said, winners always want the ball, you know, when the game is on the line kind of mm-hmm. thing. That's what this is. I mean, Mountain Heritage, Kaysen, I mean, I think you brought it up before, Lewis. Whatever you need that guy to do, he's going to go get it done for you.
That's right.
So, yeah, give me Mountain Heritage.
That could be a great game. That was on my list of consideration to go to. I think I'm headed to Pisgah, though.
Okay.
I think Pisgah, you know, a 2.5-point favorite. It doesn't get any closer than that. I think that should be a great game. Pat, you going to join me Friday at Pisgah?
I don't know yet. I haven't decided.
Your lady will be there.
Will she?
What's her name?
Mary, my wife?
That you call on.
No, the one that called you out on Facebook.
Oh, Susan called
her. Susan will be there.
I don't know if Susan will be at the game. I have no idea.
Susan will be there. All right, next up. Community School of Davidson. These charter school names are so long.
Who comes up with them?
We've got another longer
one. Smarter people than us.
Yeah, Community School of Davidson. They're 7-4 and they're headed to Murphy. Murphy 9-2 and a 14.5-point favorite. Murphy last week beat Albemarle 57-14. They're 5-0. Murphy is 5-0 at home, Pat. They beat Swain 28-0. You know why I want to bring up that?
Because Swain beat Mountain Heritage.
No, opponent. Because this Community School of Davidson beat Swain last week 65-13.
Whoa.
Community School of Davidson is 2-3 at home, but they're 4-1 on the road.
Whatever. Wow.
4-1 on the road.
Road Warriors.
Community School of Davidson scores 36 while getting up 15. They rush it for 145 yards a game while passing it for 215. They're led by quarterback Ty Singler. 215 yards, 20 touchdowns, but 11 interceptions. They have no running back who rushes for more than 52 yards a game. So, like I said, Murphy, a 14.5-point home favorite. Pat, just so you know, strength of schedule, Murphy, 244. Community School of Davidson, 267. What are you thinking here?
Well, I do know this. To get from Davidson to Murphy is going to take 42 hours.
It is a long way.
There's no doubt about that. That's going to be a drive for Davidson. So, that's one big strike. The other is, I don't think any of us can argue, discipline is the name of the game over there at Murphy. And I think that may bear out here. I know nothing about this other school, but I do know that you're not going to see a lot of mistakes out of Murphy. And I think they're going to be able to, I think they're going to be able to get the win here. So give me Murphy.
I'm definitely taking the Community School of Davidson. They're 4-1 on the road. They beat Swain by 50 last week, while Murphy only beat Swain 28-0. I'm taking the Community School of Davidson in this one. Lewis?
I'm going to do the same thing, Mike. I just feel like even though their strength of schedule's a little bit skewed because they're further down, I think that that school is going to handle Murphy.
Which school? What's the name of it?
Community School of Davidson.
Okay. Carson?
Yeah, I'm going to go with I'm a huge traffic guy and like commute and stuff, so I'm gonna go with the Murphy Bulldogs?
Yes, the Murphy Bulldogs.
The Murphy Bulldogs. Yeah, Murphy Bulldogs and Pat Pohl.
And Pat Pohl.
See, follow greatness, Carson. That's awesome.
All I do, Pat. I want to be like you when I get older.
So two more games here. And this one is, to me, probably one of the most interesting games we've talked about because East Columbus, 3-8 at Robbinsville, 8-3. This is the third round of playoffs, Pat. Robbinsville is a 50.5-point home favorite.
That's a lot of points.
East Columbus had a first-round bye. They were 2-8. They got a first-round bye. They're currently 3-8. They beat North Stokes last week, 32-21. Carson, they scored 12 while giving up 34. They rushed it for 31 a game while passing for 108. Robbinsville beat Andrews last week, 56-7. They scored 34 while giving up 14. They rushed it for 235 yards a game. The big question here is, will Robbinsville...
I mean, that's really the only question here. I mean, I don't think anybody at this table is going to say Robbinsville is going to lose this game. But
I think it's impossible.
Yeah. But how many points did you say it was?
50.5
50.5 And the running clock starts at 35.
35.
Just yeah. So you know, I take the 35. Anything over 35, I put in half.
Now, the one thing I'll say about this running clock thing and this 50.5, I learned that the running clock does not start, regardless of the score, until the second half. So you could run up 100 points in the first half and not have a running clock.
That's right.
That's what they're going to have to do to be able to get 50.5 on the board.
Robbinsville at home, I'm taking Robbinsville.
Hey, okay, thank you. Hold on a minute. I mean, Pat just had this moment right here.
I'm fully aware of how the spread works.
Nice.
I am fully aware. I think
how the spread works.
Clearly, my record does not show that I am aware of it.
The record doesn't show that.
I'm apparently buying dinner at the Scotsman because of my failure.
Lewis?
I'm also going to pick Robbinsville.
Now, the third round referees do not come from the normal pool. They come from out of the town.
It doesn't matter the talent level. Although, the wild thing about this, they're 15.5 point, and they've had a down year.
They have had a down year.
You know?
Yeah.
It's crazy that I'm taking the points.
You're taking...
I'm taking the 50.5 points.
Yeah, okay.
And I think there's something about a team that makes it to the third round that's with 3 wins.
3-8.
So, I think they've got something going on over there.
Oh,
I think is this?
So you're picking East Columbus?
Absolutely.
Will you mute Carson? Go ahead, Pat.
Yep, go ahead.
Wow, jeez. Give me Robbinsville. I'm gonna go that way. I don't know.
I'm afraid Carson just picked one up on us.
I don't think he did.
50.5.
Golly, that's a lot of points.
50.5.
Nope.
They're 3-8.
I mean, I'm going to be
3-8.
How many first downs does Columbus have to get for that to cover?
They average
one.
They average less than 150 yards a game.
I don't care. I need three first downs.
If the score is 50-0 at half, they just got to get one more point.
So you think Robin?
I don't know, man.
I don't know.
A 3-8. This is Robbinsville.
I'll tell you what. Yeah, this is my lock of the week.
Wow, the wife.
I'm gonna put a star.
By it. This is worth 2 points. This is worth 2 points for me.
Jeez.
So last up, we have Mountain Island Charter School 7-5 at Mitchell 8-4. Mitchell, a 13.5 point home favorite. Last week they beat Bishop McGinnis 42-12. They've won 4 in a row. This is Mitchell. They score 33 a game while giving up 23. They rush it for 277 yards a game, but Pat, they still pass it for 102. For Mountain Island Charter, they beat Allegheny last week 7-6. They've won 2 of their last 4. They scored 24 while giving up 18. For Mountain Island Charter, they rush for 270 yards a game while only passing for 134. Lewis, are you taking Mountain Island Charter here?
No, I'm going to pick Mitchell.
Mitchell. Okay. Carsonian.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Mitchell here as well.
I'm going to stick with the trifecta. We're going with Mitchell.
Well, let's just screw up the whole thing. I'll go with Mitchell as well.
Okay. I am still going to, just for the sake of looking to see what their logo is, I am going to look up what their logo is. What do you think it is?
I don't remember.
I don't know. Interesting. All right, breaking news. Mountain Island Charter School are the Raptors.
Indeed. Yep. Don't go into the long grass.
I tell you what, Vince Carter played for the Raptors.
Oh,
he's good at dunking.
He is. He's a dunk guy. But no.
Did he play football?
No,
he did not play football. No? Not in college or the pros.
No, but what about high school?
Well, everybody plays football in high school.
Yeah, what a guy.
So listen.
I'm a fan of these new hats, Mike.
Yeah, we have to think we are now.
Sponsored.
Yeah. We're Behind the Beard, brought to you by Black Mountain Tire.
Yes.
All it took was a hat.
All it took was 4 hats. Black Mountain, we are the Behind the Beard, brought to you by Black Mountain Tire.
And I tell you what, if anybody here drives an automobile, if any listeners are out there.
Pat drives an automobile.
I do. Yep. A lot.
Pat has many of them.
Okay. In fact, I took it to build it last week.
But my thing is take your car to Black Mountain Tire, and Bill McGee and his staff will take care of you.
It's true.
Absolutely.
Great people. He does a lot for the community, does a lot for many high school football programs around here.
Indeed.
And he now does a lot for this podcast.
And having just had a conversation with the man, to say that he's passionate about high school football is an understatement.
We tried to get him to sit down and talk, but he would not.
You know, we're talking football and Bill turned purple.
He was fired up.
He was fired up.
Six times I tried to get him to sit down so we could just talk on the podcast, and he left. Yep. All for 2 weeks, he's told me he's better than Carson, but he wouldn't sit down.
And I will plug this in for any high school coach around here. If you have a golf tournament fundraiser,
invite Bill.
We're in. Okay.
We're in?
Yeah, Bill, we're in.
And Bill, you're like a team or something?
Yeah, me and Bill are a team. We usually get a couple good players to play with us.
Bill told us he's seen Pat a lot more than he's seen his oil rep, Carson Jones, lately.
Yeah, Pat and Bill are now best friends. Rocket lovers.
Indeed.
And Pat is, you know what? I wouldn't want to lose my friend Bill to anybody but Pat. So I'm happy. Yeah. I'm happy for Pat.
Oh, man. So listen, we had PWP earlier, but we're going to have a little PWM.
Oh.
Okay.
I got a little something I'd like to read here. Are you guys ready?
Yes.
Ready.
When I leave it on the field, I don't just mean my sweat. I can play with all my strength and still live with regret. When I leave it on the field, I don't just mean my will. I can garner all my might and be disappointed still. But when I leave it on the field, I don't just mean my spirit. I could fight with all I have, and coach would never let me hear it. What I leave upon the field is my heart, indeed my soul. It is everything I have in me, dedicated to one goal. I do my best in every play with my body and my mind. And when I think I have given it all, still more courage I find. Because my brother next to me seems to have some left. So I borrow from his reserve because he will not count it theft. Because our team is a family, some strong when others lack. And just when all may seem a loss, my brother has my back. It's for the team I give my time in practice and in the gym. It's for my guy who needs my resilience. I do the work for him. So when I leave it on the field, it is all I have and more. When we leave it on the field, we win, no matter the score.
Indeed.
There you go.
Indeed.
For you teams that are still left in it, leave it on the field for sure.
Yes. Leave it all out there.
And I'll say this too about that. You know, even if you're a younger guy on a team and you're, you know, wondering about all that, you got to look over the seniors on your team and realize they're desperate to cling on to any additional play, game, anything they can do to keep this season going along. So you owe it to them at the very least, if not just for yourselves.
Another thing, Pat, if you're a freshman, like this is your first game of freshman year, you got 40 guaranteed games.
Yeah.
After that. That's the old final whistle, right?
Indeed, final whistle. What's the percentage of players in high school that go on to play any level?
Was it
1%?
I thought it was 0.01.
0.01%, 0.03%.
It's fractional.
Yeah.
It's not much.
Nope.
It's not much.
So get all you can. Get all you want. Get it.
So round three this week.
Yep.
We got some fantastic games. Pat and I head to Pisgah.
Big games.
Big games.
Big games. And to plug in some things that – some news that will be coming in high school football lately. I will probably have some coaching changes. It just released today, Asheville Sports Huddle. Crazy that we weren't able to break this news, but Mike Sexton is out at Inca. He has resigned legacy career at Inca.
Yeah, Inca, before that Irwin.
Yes.
Fantastic coach. So yeah, they'll be looking for a new coach at Inca.
Yep. So now the and coaching search has happened.
We've talked many times. The average age of all the coaches in this area is high. So there are going to be some retirements coming in the next year.
Would you say they're Pat's age?
I would not say they're that old.
Okay.
They've been in the school system a while. So there's going to be some coaching changes coming. Like we've said in the past, Coach Radford, the only one that's not eligible for retirement in Buncombe County.
That's not true.
Well, I'm sorry. Other than the Owen coach.
I'm gonna whip that ass.
Sometimes I forget Owen's even out there.
Yeah. All
right. What's a podcast without a punch?
I know. I forgot about Faircloth. I do apologize. But what I'm saying is there's a lot of older coaches in the area, Henderson and Buncombe County. There's going to be some changes. Number one domino fell today. Inca coach resigned.
Yes.
Retired.
Yep. Does Faircloth make a move? Yeah. The rumors are starting.
Yeah. I've heard that he's looking for something better, but I don't know. Madison may be available.
No, Madison. You get all flinchy over there.
He's got a second punch.
Oh, my goodness.
But anyway, guys, thanks for joining us again.
Yes.
Brought to you by Black Mountain Tire, and we're looking forward to next week.
Yep. Love you guys.